Wall Street wavered as investors try to make sense of the minutes of the recent central bank meeting. It's the Business News Hour for Wednesday, the 20th of February. Thanks so very much for being with us again, everybody. In other business news today, one airline said they lost $60 million over the federal shutdown. Amtrak? They want you. Deutsche Bank is worried, and it's all about loans. Speaking of banks, a bank in Europe faces billions in fines. Hey, by the way, we've got a new smartphone for you, and oh my, wow. Speaking of smart, how smartwatches are saving lives. Illegal drugs are spiking in cost. How about office space in an apartment building? It's happening in Des Moines. Those stories, and we'll chat with Ned Flynn and Cindy Cronin from Orion HR about harassment in the workplace. It's costly in more ways than one. The Business News is next.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby, is made possible through the support of Orion, human resources, payroll, and call center help for businesses. AUREON.com. AARP of Iowa. Real possibilities. AARP, Iowa. The Business News Hour, also presented by Tero International, your elite training team at TERO.com. Remax Concepts, realestateconcepts.net. The Business News is next.
Hey, and thank you, Hunter Pease. Welcome back to Insight on Business, the News Hour for a Wednesday afternoon. I'm your host, Michael Libby. Reach out to us on Twitter. You can do that, you know. We are at IOB_NewsHour. Me personally, you can find me on Twitter at Michael Libby. Libby is spelled L-I-B-B-I-E. Well, Wall Street did waver today between highs and lows. At one time, the Dow was up by over 100 points, only to come back down after investors tried to wrap their heads around the recently released minutes of the central bank. The Fed meeting minutes highlighted downside risks to the economy from its January meeting, including, quote, the possibilities of a sharper-than-expected slowdown in global economic growth, particularly in China and in Europe. We'll have all the numbers about what happened on Wall Street later in the broadcast. Well, today, Southwest Airlines said the company lost $60 million during the recent government shutdown, and that, well, that's just the tip of the iceberg. Yesterday, maintenance problems forced the airline to cancel 191 flights. Southwest said that more than 40 planes had maintenance issues, which is twice the daily average. The mechanical issues are so bad that the airline has canceled vacations for mechanics and is operating with an all-hands-on-deck strategy. Today, the airline canceled over 400 flights. Besides the mechanical issues and the revenue hit, the Federal Aviation Administration is investigating the airline for the way it tracks the weight of checked bags on its flights. Wow. That's a three-bee. It's always something, right? Staying with transportation for just a moment, today we learned the railroad Amtrak is seeking to attract more passengers, so they've got a plan. Amtrak officials said their goal is to revamp the way Amtrak trains run along the aging network of national routes it already maintains, with more frequent service between pairs of cities in the fastest-growing parts of the country. Where? Well, like Atlanta and Charlotte, North Carolina, or Cleveland and Cincinnati. Running more trains over shorter distances would allow Amtrak to better serve those commercial corridors where rail can compete with flying and even driving. But that new service could come at the cost of curtailing some long-distance routes where storied trains like the Empire Builder and the Southwest Chief have small but fervent bases of support and lineage stretching back to the golden age of railroads. And any change in Amtrak's management of the national network will require approval from Congress, which has aggressively defended the long-distance routes in the past, even as it presses Amtrak to prioritize improving its financial performance. Well, here's one for you. Bloomberg is reporting that top Deutsche Bank executives were so concerned after the 2016 U.S. election that the Trump Organization might default on about $340 million worth of loans while Donald Trump was in office that they discussed extending repayment dates until after the end of a potential second term in 2025. People familiar with the matter said members of the bank's management board were leery of the public relations disaster they would face if they went after the assets of a sitting president. The discussions were about risks to the bank's reputation and did not relate to any heightened concerns about the creditworthiness of Trump or his company. The bank ultimately decided against restructuring the loans to the Trump Organization, which come due, by the way, in 2023 and 2024, and chose instead not to do any new business with Trump while he is president. Speaking of banks, UBS faces a massive financial penalty in France after a court there ruled that the Swiss bank helped its wealthy clients avoid taxes. The court delivered its verdict in Paris today, ordering the bank to pay $5.1 billion in finding it guilty of money laundering and illegal client solicitations. The fines include $907 million in civil damages payable to the French state. Shares of UBS dropped sharply after the verdict was announced, trading down 4.2% in Switzerland. The fines are roughly equal to the bank's net profits for all of last year. Well, the smartphone market has been sort of in a funk lately, but that changed today as Samsung gave the world a look at its new folding phone. But here's the issue. The device retails for nearly $2,000. The Galaxy Fold, announced today in San Francisco, will sell for $1,980 when it's released on April 26th. Consumers willing to pay that hefty price will get a device that can unfold like a wallet so it can work like a traditional smartphone with a 4.6-inch screen or morph into something more like a mini tablet with a 7.3-inch screen. Three words: start saving up. Sticking with technology for a moment, there's a growing list of testimonies that demonstrate how smartwatches are going beyond fashionable lifestyle conveniences or workout tools and now doubling as SOS signals during sudden medical emergencies. People with an Apple Watch or Fitbit have had alerts pop up on their screen telling them to seek medical help immediately. And then trips to the hospital have found that these adults, who seemed healthy, had things like kidney failure, blocked arteries, all life-threatening, and not all diagnosed prior to the smartwatch warnings. So now, you're rethinking that smartwatch purchase? According to a story out today from Bloomberg, the price of a variety of illegal drugs like cocaine, marijuana, opioids, and stimulants has increased by 40% in the United States since last year, making the United States the third most expensive place in the world to get high. Americans would need to pay $846 for what Bloomberg calls its basket of vice, with only Australia and New Zealand being more expensive. The U.S. recorded one of the biggest jumps in the bulk of increase coming from cocaine and opioid, classes of drugs that accounted for almost 70% of the more than 70,000 fatal overdoses recorded in this country in 2017. So, if you want to get high on the cheapest place on the planet, go to Luxembourg. Coming in second is the Netherlands. In Luxembourg, that $846 basket of drugs would cost you only $83. Wow, see what you learn here? Well, what do you do if you're not sure retail space will work on the bottom floor of an apartment building? Well, why not turn that space into offices? And that's exactly what the new apartment building, The Flux, has going on. In a release today, we learned that Onyx Office Suites will open on April 1st on the ground floor of Flux Apartments at 1400 Walnut Street in Des Moines. It's going to be featuring 12 private offices for rent at what they're calling budget-friendly prices that they say is ideal for freelancers, startups, and small business owners. Well, stocks closed slightly higher today as Wall Street tried to interpret a release from the Federal Reserve that summarized the central bank's crucial meeting last month in which it indicated it would be, quote, patient, end quote, on future rate hikes. The NASDAQ ended the day just above the flat line at 74.89 to notch its eighth consecutive gain. The Dow rose by 63 points to close at 25,954, and the S&P 500 closed almost 0.2% higher at 27.84. Equities gyrated after the Fed's release, with the S&P 500 and Dow reaching their highs of the day, but then things started to go south. The Fed meeting minutes highlighted downside risks to the economy from its January meeting, including, quote, the possibilities of a sharper-than-expected downturn in global economic growth, particularly in China and in Europe, end quote. Gold gave back a fraction of what it earned yesterday, falling by $2.60 to $1,342.20 an ounce. Oil was up 72 cents today to end the day at $57.17 a barrel, and the 10-year T-note is paying 2.64%. When we come back, Ned Flynn and Cindy Cronin from Arion HR join me to talk about workplace harassment, how to mitigate the risk, and how pricey settlements can get. That is coming up next here on the Wednesday edition of the Business News Hour.